Hello. Welcome to Release Your Wings. I'm Dan Bagley, and I'm interviewing Shireen Chadha. We played with the title for a while now, but we finally came on interdependence as opposed to the steps Steve Covey has, dependent, independent, interdependent. So let's talk. Where would you like within that ladder of behaviors to start?
To acknowledge we are interdependent. First,
yes.
We are interdependent. We do need each other.
We as adults, definitely.
Yeah. For any task, even mm-hmm. as a community, for example, I am not married, you know, so you would think that I, whatever, you know, I should be cloistered and don't need people. But let's say if you want to create a better world, mm-hmm. you definitely need a community and you need people in the community. So you are interdependent. So, like, even people like me are interdependent.
Oh, absolutely. I'm always amazed at how many people will sometimes say, men do it more than women, I'm a self-made man.
Right.
And they ignore that they drove on a highway that we all chipped into. They went to public schools. We have police departments. We have sanitation picking up. So society, by its definition,
is interdependent. But also, in a self-made man, no one really is self-made.
Never.
Because there's so many people behind something. There's one person who's the front man, mm-hmm. so to speak, but there's so many people behind a project that goes successful.
So when we start off as infants, we are totally dependent.
Exactly.
Adolescence and probably early adulthood is a lot proving that we are no longer dependent, and that is when we become independent. I've got to be me. Now, that hangs on for a while, and in most of us want our individuality, but the real magic is where the interdependence is at now.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I feel if our maturity level is still as an adolescent, mm-hmm. that I feel like I'm a free spirit, you know, I don't need anyone, I'm a free spirit. But we all buy into a certain paradigm, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I'm buying into the Brahma Kumari's paradigm. We all buy into a certain paradigm. And I feel that there is actual freedom in buying into a paradigm that really speaks to you.
I think that's a good point, because here's another paradox of interdependence and freedom, actually, and that is that freedom is not license. It isn't total randomness.
Exactly. You can't do anything you want. Just because you're free, that doesn't mean you can do anything you want. Like, your freedom or your independence stops where other people's rights
Absolutely.
Begin.
And also having a discipline or values, virtually every tradition has its values, and that tells us how to interact better.
Exactly. You know, I was thinking about that, actually. You know, discipline is so important. And let's say, for example, you're in high school and you really don't like the whole high school system and you want to drop out.
Yes.
So you're free. Yes, you're free. You're free to do anything. You don't have to go to class. But for how long? You're free, because is that the kind of freedom you want, where you're free to go work, you know, in minimum wage somewhere, and that's great, but you'll be working minimum wage somewhere for the rest of your life, which is not a bad thing. That's what you want, but you have to make informed decisions. That's what I'm saying. What we think of freedom really comes with a price, and it comes with a very heavy price tag. If we don't make the right choices at the right time and set ourselves free too early.
So when you take on a paradigm, mm-hmm. I think it's probably better to know you're taking on a paradigm. For example, BKs, you know pretty much what you are doing within your group.
Yes, and in the Brahma Kumaris, there's a lot of disciplines that mm-hmm. we follow. And people could say, oh, but I don't like these disciplines because I want to be free, you know, or I don't want to be part of an organized religion or spiritual group. I don't want to be part of anything organized. I feel that, let's first address the discipline which we were going to mm-hmm. before, that discipline is very important, because if you really want to go ahead in life, you know, recently I was reading this thing about 10,000 hours.
Yes.
And it actually takes much more than 10,000 hours to get good at something. So if you really want the soul to experience that inner independence and inner power, then it takes a lot of time to get there, and it takes a lot of discipline to get there.
Absolutely. In fact, I have to admit that I've reached in chronological age where I'm realizing that the discipline I have to go and do my exercises in the morning, and of course the discipline that you and I share, different meditation strategies, but That is so important for long term. If I stopped exercising when I felt like stopping decades ago, then the physical freedom that I have now to do what I want to do, hike, ride bicycle, swim, whatever, would not be there. So once again, the discipline is incredibly important.
Right. I want to address the other thing about organized spiritual groups or organized religion. People always say, I'm a free spirit. I don't want to be part of this organized group. I feel when you have a lot of people in a group, it's good to build a community and it's good to build an organization around that community because you have to manage so many people. Mm-hmm. If it's just five people, then you can, it's a different matter. But if it's a million people, then you have to have certain guiding principles, certain things that would make it a cohesive, beneficial group organization for everyone. But I feel that if I just look at some things that are going bad, because we are all human beings, we all tend to make mistakes. If we just look at some things that are going bad, then we can look at those things the whole day and say, oh, I'm not part of it. But you can always look at the good things that are going on because of that, because of it being organized enough so that everyone is benefiting.
I think that's really true. And as we take on a discipline, we find what we're looking for. What I've noticed that the BKs seem to be really oriented around finding peace, equanimity, and the like. You cannot find peace and equanimity looking for what's wrong with the problem.
Right, right.
You have to go for the calm, the peace, the non-resistance
right.
of sorts.
Right.
So if you need to stand up for who you are, as you well do, it isn't so much pushing against anything, it's just being the light of who you are. I think most of us can live more smoothly that way.
Right.
Having quiet confidence in our basically values discipline.
Right, right. You know, I want to share some things of how freedom or independence has evolved over time.
Sure.
For example, in the 60s, right, we had to go through the civil rights movements because some people needed equal rights.
Sure.
As the rest of the people in the United States. But people will say that if I didn't fight for it, because you were talking about standing for peace, right? If I didn't fight for it, if I didn't really go against something, then I wouldn't. Yeah. It wouldn't have happened. But I feel that was true then.
Mm-hmm.
And that did a lot of work then. But the whole world has a paradigm shift right now. And it's shifted into a space where only our peace will bring about peace.
I like
only
that.
Our true inner freedom, freedom from the vices of the spirit will bring about real freedom and independence and a good interdependent society in the world.
I was talking to a friend recently who had gone through a divorce, and she was in the forgiveness time now, but she was saying to break free of the gravitational pull of this relationship that was not serving either of us, I had to get angry. And I went, isn't that interesting? She said, it wasn't meant to last, but I had to do some things for me personally. I've never been through a divorce, so I don't know this. But I'm thinking, yeah. But once we, it's like when we stub our toe, we might go, ouch. Now, how long do you hop on one foot depends on whether or not you're healing or you're going crazy and jumping around on one foot for the rest of the year. So within that, I think the thing to understand about anger is sometimes we use it as that animal gut instinct. But quickly moving to the freedom we get through forgiveness may be the most important step in that.
Yeah, you know, I agree that really forgiveness is freedom. But not only forgiveness and forgetting it is mm-hmm. true freedom. Not
yeah.
just forgiveness, but forgetting something is really true freedom.
Boy, that is truly it, because once you've forgotten it, then it is truly
it's not pulling you. It's not, you know, tying you in this, you know, things that you don't want to think about and all of that. But to really tell you the truth, I wouldn't agree, though I've never really been through a divorce and I've never really been married, so I can't really talk. But I feel that right now there is no space for anger in our lives. There is no space for anything negative in our lives, that we can establish a really good world for all of us by using the pure qualities of the soul, like love and peace and bliss, and but with firmness.
Yes.
There's, you know, when I'm talking about love, that doesn't mean I'm being a doormat. You know,
absolutely.
I'm talking about love with discipline. I'm talking about love that enables souls.
So what I hear you saying is, if we're pushing against something, that something will start pushing back. Just
equal and opposite reaction.
If we are non-confrontive in anger, then there's nothing to push against.
Right. Though I'm giving the caveat, I've never really gone through divorce, so I don't know how I would react in it. But however I would react.
Let's do an experiment. I'll find you a husband.
No, thanks. however I would react, it doesn't matter. The high ground where all of us would benefit is if we use the qualities of the soul. And that really is inner freedom. Is freedom, inner independence, is freedom from anger, freedom from ego, freedom from wanting name or fame or whatever it is that people want in life. That is really, really independence.
So, in a funny way, the antithesis of freedom is attachment, be it to our anger, be it to our status, be it to our money or cars or what have you, our youth.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that, as we can forgive ourselves the transgression of even momentarily being attached to something, then we can let go, I think, a lot more easily.
Right. Attachment is an interesting thing. And also, you know, like if you see in a parent-child relationship or a husband and wife relationship or something, I think the codependency, or you don't give people freedom, you don't give people their independence, is when you are afraid of losing something. And that a fear really comes from that attachment.
Yeah. To fight those things is another form of being in shackles. I'll give you an example. This sort of dates when this for future times, but we're in the week where the tornadoes went through, this week, went through Oklahoma and wiped out that town. And as I watched the news report, it said that it hit an elementary school. And all of a sudden, I just found myself going, no. And I mean, tears were welled up in my eyes. I am a parent. I suddenly was every one of those parents. And I was totally mortified and totally afraid in that moment. Now, in a funny way, that was painful. I wished it were not happening. But I think there is something that has us feel pain. Neurologically, it's our mirror neurons in our brain that makes us experience what other people are experiencing. You see the worried parent. So is freedom never to feel these? I hope not. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Or maybe it's I hope not for me, because I'm not used to feeling it, not feeling it.
Right. Freedom, when I'm talking about freedom, I'm really talking about that total state of the soul where it's in its bliss, when it's in its peace, when it's in its,
its
love,
purest
its purest form, and that really is freedom. That's really independence of the soul. But let's say all of these things, right? You as a parent would react differently because you are a parent, and I would react differently. Even though I feel I would feel mercy and compassion for the children, that it wouldn't bring out that same pain in me because I don't have children. And I feel, but the question here, and for me I feel this is true, is our sorrow is really not helping anyone.
That is probably true.
And
unless we take out our check and send it to the survivors.
Yes, and so at that time they really need, Dadi Janki once said this and I really like, at the face of a problem, the world really needs the support of a tranquil mind.
Yeah.
If nothing else, you can't do anything else, you don't have money to send a check, which is fine. they still need the support of your tranquil mind. And that is what we call serving through the mind. And I think you can do that. But you can only serve when your mind has elevated thoughts and that state of being. If you're experiencing their pain, then you won't be able to serve.
And if it's debilitating to you, you become part of the problem.
Yes.
We could have gone on this one for a lot longer. Thank you for joining us. I hope some of our thoughts have opened up your mind to more peace, tranquility, and the enjoyment of interdependence.